Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, pond, lots of green stuff, water. Some whale vertebrae. What? I must be in the critter shed.
Ah, welcome back. How are you, Colette?
I'm good, Collie. How are you?
Good, good, good. What do you think of my mint, my water mint?
Oh, yeah. God, it's so vibrant in here now. It's really, really green.
Oh, after a couple of months of sunshine and just a little bit of warmth, everything starts turning green, coming back to life. My favourite time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I say that about every second time of year.
See how good I'm getting at locking that.
Brilliant.
Now. Fantastic.
Brilliant,
Now, Collie, you have something.
Yeah, I called you up especially for this one.
This is all the bat signal going up, or the tadpole signal
Come
going
over
up.
Here. So, I'm going to show you another
Okay, so,
guys.
Again, we have Tupperware, we have water in it, and we have something that I recognise from my childhood, sort of, except it's bigger and much more carnivorous tadpoles, but they're not frog tadpoles.
Well, they are frogs, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
They are frogs, yeah. They're horned frog tadpoles from South America. So
right.
South American horned frogs, commonly known as Pac-Man frogs. And they're called Pac-Man frogs because they're basically a round ball with a giant mouth and they eat everything that goes in front of them. And they're very, very cool animals. I've been in love with these frogs for many, many years. And for 20 years I've been trying to breed them unsuccessfully. And my good friend Thomas McGowan, who is a bit of a mentor and a brilliant herpetologist, decided to have a crack at it last year and managed to do the spectacular and breed them. So we split the spawn and we've been rearing them, and as you can see they're coming along now. They are
how big?
They are about an inch and a half to 2 inches long, the classic tadpole shape, except 10 times bigger. The back legs are forming now, but also on the front end of it, if you can see there, Colette, you see that little kind of white ridge with the fangs sticking out of it?
That's like right at the front. There's like a frill that looks like, I guess, teeth sticking out.
That's teeth, exactly.
That's actually teeth.
That's a razor sharp teeth, yeah,
oh
exactly.
Oh my God.
They essentially are giant sperm piranhas. Giant piranha sperm. That's exactly what they are. They look like tadpoles, but giant, and have these massive fangs on the front of them, and they're just vicious. Anything that moves around them, essentially at the start, they just eat each other. Mm. In the ponds where they come from are temporary ponds. So where they would live in South America would be either in grasslands or in forest areas. And you have a dry season and a wet season. During the dry season, they bury themselves down. They cocoon themselves in this kind of skin that keeps them moist. And then it rains. It rains heavily and it floods and forms these temporary pools. Every frog in South America at that point decides, let's bang. So they all go down to the pools, all the different species, and they all mate and have all these tadpoles. So you have all different types. You'll have tree frogs and ground-dwelling frogs. And these, we're going to call them carnivorous frogs. All frogs are carnivorous, but we're going to call these extra carnivorous, okay?
Right.
So these extra carnivorous frogs. And the reason I call them that is because other tadpoles will eat algae and detritus and all sorts of everything. They'll just eat and meat. They'll eat everything. These guys will only eat meat and only other living matter. They're just there to predate on other stuff, especially other tadpoles and shrimps and water worms, all that kind of stuff. They'll just mill everything that moves and each other. So it's hard rearing them, of course, because you have to keep them fed. Otherwise, little Timmy will turn around to little Susie and go, "You look very delicious," and snap her up.
It's actually mind-boggling. So we all know tadpoles from our childhood. We all know the shape. But these guys just look so beefed up and like almost like they're on steroids. I have the feeling that if I put my cat near them, they'd probably have a go at them.
I would definitely say they would.
Amazing.
They're incredible.
So if you imagine the tadpole that you know from your childhood, zip it up to almost the size of a 2 euro coin, but oval in shape, not round. And then, so you have the long tail and I can see some back legs.
Forming,
but
yeah.
And as they're just sort of swimming around there, right at the front, you can see two big, it's like almost somebody drew a face on them. You can see black points. Are they the eyes?
Yeah, they're the eyes. Yeah.
And then a little brown bit around the nose area, what we think looks like the nose. And then this frill, which is the razor sharp fangs.
Yeah. The God. Teeth.
Jesus.
Well, yeah, we'll call them teeth, but that's essentially what they are. And they scrape and lash into other animals and they take chunks out of each other as well. Mm. It's mad. It's been such a treat rearing them. I've really enjoyed it. I've been standing in the kitchen because I have them in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I can really keep an eye on the water quality. The water quality goes really poor really fast. So essentially, I just to explain, I have to mimic the temporary ponds that they live in. So I have a small little 3 foot by 1 foot bowl, mm-hmm. with some water plants in it, a heater and an oxygenator, and I just leave it there. I can't put a filter on it because if I put the filter on it, there's a chance they can get sucked into it. Also, I want to try and keep it as natural as possible. So they're all in there. I have to keep feeding them. So I'm feeding them frozen bloodworm, which is delicious for them because they're doing very well in it, and some earthworms and some pond life that I can scoop out my own ponds, and they're doing great on it. And as they've been kind of living together, they've been picking off their weaker siblings. Right. Unfortunately, you'll see sometimes them swimming past with a tail hanging out their mouth and I'm like, no, but I reckon I've only lost like at the most 5%, which is not bad,
right,
considering. Now the challenge is to mimic them coming out of that setup, so I'm going to have to put a little slant on the tank to make sure they can crawl out of the water when the front legs develop.
When do these hatch into, like, when do these come out of the eggs?
2 weeks ago.
No way.
Yeah.
And how big were they?
When they hatched, Tom was telling me when they hatched or when they were laid, he was watching the eggs and he had a kind of a magnifying glass and he was watching the eggs and he could see the cells dividing.
No.
In one night, they've gone from being laid to being free swimming tadpoles in one night.
Seriously?
Because these pools that they're from naturally are so temporary, they develop really fast.
God.
It's I actually can't believe they get so big on the amount of food that they eat. Mm. It's like they absorb, I don't know, it's like they're magical or something. It kind of doesn't make sense how they do it, but I don't care. It's brilliant anyway.
So it's like everything's just totally sped up?
Yeah, totally. And then when they get out of the water, the vicious life cycle of these creatures doesn't stop. So they'll get out of the water. Their mom and dad will be hanging around near the water's edge, picking off the weaker ones. So they're highly cannibalistic as adults. And again, they look, you have to picture them. So they're the frog shape, but round, and a hybrid between a frog and Pac-Man.
Right. I just banged the container there. Okay. You can actually, you can almost see the shape that they'll take when they turn into frogs.
Yeah, I'll pull an adult out later on and show you. But they'll predate mainly on insects, small mammals, mice, lizards, snakes. Yeah, and then other frogs. So they're real, as I say, super carnivorous.
Yeah.
Like where most frogs, bar the larger species of like American bullfrogs or Goliath frogs, most normal frogs wouldn't take vertebrates as food. They would never predate on them at all. So these guys are really exceptional in the amphibian world. They have these bony protrusions from their jaw. They don't have teeth, so they have these bony things that stick out of their jaw.
Mm.
And when they bite onto things, they can actually snap backbones. I've been bitten by these before and it's really unpleasant. It's not a nice bite. They have the same bite force as some mammals at the same size as them, which is really powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So how long more do you think, seeing as they have this hugely...
Oh, days. I think there's some of them now, like for this one.
So days until they metamorphose?
Well, days until the front legs come out. When the front legs come out, then I'll have to separate those ones away from the rest of the pack, because when the front legs come out, tadpoles stop feeding. Mm-hmm. The rest of their energy reserves come from the tail.
Okay.
So there's a lot of fat stored in the tail, and this is for all frogs as well. So when they stop feeding and their front legs develop... Then pop out. They pop out through these little holes in the side of their body. They're pre there. There's like these little holes ready to go. Wow. They pop out, like putting your arms through a jumper, and they'll stop feeding. They'll start kind of coming up into shallower patches onto leaves, then onto the bank, then moving around, gulping air. The gills will finally disappear, and then they won't eat for a little while because they'll use the fat reserve that they've stored up in their tail as they absorb the tail, and then they'll start feeding on land. So frogs as a, obviously I probably haven't shut up about frogs since I started doing this podcast.
No, really, do you like frogs?
I love frogs, but they're exceptional creatures as it is. But these ones are like the Hulk Hogan of frogs. I absolutely love them. The Arnold Schwarzenegger of frogs. They just kick ass. They really do. And like there's fossils of ancient species of these that have been found, named the devil frog or Beelzebufo was the Latin name they gave it, which is really cool. And at first they claimed it was the size of a beach ball and it was eating baby dinosaurs. Now they've shrunk it down a little bit. I think there was a bit of liberty taken in writing the paper to try and get some more press. But yeah, still pretty cool to think of these giant frogs hanging around snapping at tiny dinosaurs back in the 70 million years ago.
Yeah. I heard you mention before that these frogs are basically a mouth attached to a stomach.
Yes, that's essentially what they are. Well, actually, a mouth attached to a stomach attached to reproductive organs.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a very nice way of putting it. It's attached to a pair of balls. These are called, like, a term we'd use would be explosive breeders. So these kind of desert species of frogs that will come out when the rains hit will come out, eat like mad, bang like mad, and then essentially bury themselves again. And they're very long lived because of this. So you can have someone that'll be 20, 30 years old because their life is maybe a month or two every year.
Right.
And then they might miss a rainy season for 4 years.
Wow.
So they could be 4 years underground sitting there just waiting. So it's an incredible survival tactic, and it really, yeah, it's really interesting. But that's what makes it so difficult to do in captivity.
Right.
So yeah, I'm really happy with it, and it's been a great couple of weeks.
Wow. Look at you all happy with your new
toys. It's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
So these are Pac-Man frogs. That's one of the names. Yeah, yeah. And you have... You do have one adult here, don't you?
I do, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that majestic.
Oh, that's the Pac-Man frog. Oh my God, yeah. You're going to have to describe that. It's beautiful.
It's a ball. It's a ball of doughy flesh with a mouth and two eyes on top. It's got that kind of... anyone who's ever seen a movie called Pan's Labyrinth will probably recognise this kind of creature. He based one of the characters in it. It's a big toad that lives underground, but essentially it looks like a horned frog. They're very large bodied, very short limbed, very wide mouth, and two eyes on top. So a ball with stubby little legs, a massive mouth, and these tiny little eyes on top with little protrusions coming off their eyes, which is where they get their name, because they actually look like physical horns, but they're actually just flaps of skin. And the reason why they have them there is to, if you're looking at them in the leaf litter, it actually looks like leaves just sticking out of the ground. It's very hard to make them out, actually. So the males are about the size of a fist. Some of the females, there's 8 different species of them, and some of the females of these frogs will get to the size of a dinner plate. They're really big.
Wow.
Which is bizarre. And they are well capable of eating adult rats as they walk past them. Yeah, they're very, very big.
So where's this, where am I looking at the horny bit then? The
The, on the
no,
eye.
No,
on
no the bit that chomps a spine in half.
Oh, well, you won't inside in the mouth.
Right.
If we were to force it open.
Which we're not going to do.
Actually, do you know what? I may have a bit of a skeleton off an
old one. Oh, okay. Cool.
Hang on for a second. Can you pause that there now?
I'll pause it. I'll just play some holding music while Collie's getting the skeleton.
Down, but you'll get the idea. Here's a small
nail. Right.
But if you run your finger along there, you feel those little protrusions.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they're really
sharp.
Very sharp. It's like serrated almost.
Yes, exactly. Now, that's in the smaller males, in the bigger females, and in different species. They actually, some of them have these protrusions that go right up and they interlock. So, see what I'm doing with my fingers there, the way they interlocked?
Yeah.
So, you'll have those gripping teeth. Plus two really big ones puncturing.
Almost like a zip, but sharp.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how, that's a really good description of it. Yeah, so it's they're designed to grab stuff and swallow a whole. Now, the problem with that is they're exceptionally greedy as well.
Right.
And they're not very smart. So a lot of them choke to death.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them do choke to death. They're found in the wild, like with half a frog that's nearly the same size as them stuffed down their throat. So they don't have the same capabilities as snakes in the swallowing department.
Right.
So their greediness can be their downfall.
They're extraordinary looking animals. I mean, you know, when we look at a face, we put, you know, a human sort of personality on it.
Yes.
And his face just looks very stern and downturned, sort of. He this enormous mouth, which is, goes almost, if it was me, it go from one shoulder to the next. That would be my mouth, and just turn downwards and looks very, looks almost like something from Alice in Wonderland, doesn't it?
I was about to say, wouldn't you imagine him if he had a top hat now? He'd have a British accent. He'd be like one of these gout ridden fellas, like, you know, hello, come into my jungle. You know, yeah, he does look like an expat. He's amazing.
Entitled and all that.
Oh, yeah, very grand, very proud. Proud, but like kind of silly at the same time. But yeah, incredible animals.
Beautiful.
And yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Local legend around them as well is because they're super aggressive, so because they're living in these harsh conditions, again, they have to defend themselves and they will snap at you. Like, they'll jump at you and they actually squeak. It's hilarious. They'll and jump at you and try and bite your finger. So they'll take on anything. And horses, a lot of horses around in South America will be down drinking in water pools where, when these guys are breeding. And sorry, that's one of my spiders. And
that was a spider.
Spider jar just fell over.
All right, I thought it was a spider jumping at me.
So, around where they're breeding, the horses will come down to have a drink. Frogs are going, get away from me. They don't know it's not a predator. And they'll actually, the myth is that they'll jump and latch onto the horse's tongue and they won't let go.
Ah.
And the horse will die of thirst. This is one of the legends.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't happen, but I'm sure they do snap at the horses and jump at them. the numbers of them are going down in the wild because of habitat destruction and deforestation and the draining of their natural swamps where the water would accumulate for that point of the year. Also, then you have chytrid and the rest of the nasties that are going around that's affecting the amphibians.
Chytrid is?
A fungus that's affecting amphibians all over the world. I think we're going to do a whole episode on that with Rob, my pal, who was dealing with that. So,
is that the fungus that eats the skin or is it something
else? Yes, 100%, yeah. There's a lot of funguses and viruses that will eat amphibian skin. It's because it's so permeable, it just seems to get affected a lot. But the good news for these is that now people are starting to crack out to breed them in captivity. Mm. That will take the pressure from the pet trade off them at least. And it means because they're kind of hardy little fellas, there's always a possibility of reintroduction into the wild as well. So, you know, focus on the positive. Mm. And I have some tala frogs here, so that's great, you know. They're going to be robbing cars in 2 weeks. So, while we're on the subject of giant killer frogs,
yes,
I keep saying these are my favourites, but these are my favourites.
I thought scorpions were your favourite.
Yeah, I know. I'm an animal slut. Now, so this is, I'm going to show you what this is.
Again, you have a container with a lid on the top. You're just taking it off, and the most amazing creature is looking at me. You have to describe that. Size of my fist, if not bigger.
Your fist. Now, these are odd frogs. These are the giant African bullfrog, okay? So it's a giant African bullfrog. You can check them, Google them and look them up online if you want to see any of these animals. It's the best way of finding out what they look like. But this is a female. And these are very odd because normally sexual dimorphism in frogs, which is the difference between male and females, normally it means that the males are a lot smaller than the females because the females carry all the eggs. In African bullfrogs, it's completely reversed. And African bullfrogs are the biggest known species of frog for weight. They're massive. The males get up to 10 inches in length.
Jesus.
Huge. Huge. And very, very nasty animals. Like, will jump at lions. At
really?
Their pills. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. We'll get to that in a second. But the females are quite petite. And very manageable. I have
just
three.
Picked her up there now.
Yeah, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
She's the size of my fist, but her head is, unlike the other frogs that I've seen, her head is much smaller than her body. It's like a head stuck on an oblong, oval-shaped body.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, then four legs.
Now, if you were to look at her body, and that the horned frog's body, it's the same setup. It's the same. The only thing that's different about them is the head.
Right.
So this is another example of convergent evolution, which we're going to get into properly some other episode down the line.
And convergent evolution means?
It's two animals doing similar things, having similar lifestyles, who aren't related, end up looking the same way.
Right. So they sort of came up with the same idea in evolutionary terms and developed in a similar way.
Forced into the same niches and they end up looking very similar. Yeah. And this, again, is a explosive breeding frog who lives in very arid grassy plains. Maybe every 3 years you get a rainy season out in savannah in Africa. You get these temporary pools. They come up from under the earth. They breed like mad. The males in this species are incredibly, I'm going to put her down because
she's moving
like
around.
The males in this species are incredibly powerful, incredibly aggressive, and they hold wrestling matches.
Really?
Yep. So they'll go off to the prime breeding spots. And the males, just like our Irish frogs, the males want to be in the centre where all the females will go. Because the females, when they arrive, they'll dive into the water, go down deep and come up in the middle. They want the posh gaffs in the really nice place. So the males all wrestle with each other. They grab each other. They throw each other overhead. They rip arms off. They're very vicious. They have these, again, massive fangs, much bigger than those ones. They've really, really nasty bite. One of the worst bites I ever got was off a giant African bullfrog. I tell people that and they're like, off a frog? And I'm like, yes. It's incredibly painful.
Wow.
And the dominant male will grab the female, huge, get on top of her, 2,000 eggs.
Wow.
Spawned, fine. Then what the male does is he sits around this little small pool that he has protecting the eggs. And he might actually get two or three females to spawn in there, and he'll look after all these eggs. They develop as quickly as our little pals here. Again, the same kind of situation. Temporary pools, they have to develop fast. What happens then is, out in the savannah, they start to get baked, and the water level starts dropping. What does Daddy Frog do? Very cleverly, he starts digging a channel to the bigger ponds.
Oh.
So he'll get his rear legs into the mud, and he'll start scooping out the mud with his back legs. And then he goes back to the tadpoles and nudges them into the into this channel. And wow, they all swim into the pond.
That's
it's amazing. Incredible, powerful parenthood for an amphibian. You wouldn't think that. And especially for a male.
Mm.
Also, as I was saying to you earlier, anything from an elephant to a lion that goes near that puddle is getting it off this frog. Right. He's going to jump at them. He's going to bite. And he'll sacrifice himself to protect those spawn.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's now, amazing.
As soon as they turn into frogs, yeah, little baby frogs, he'll eat them. So I don't know how that works. But yeah, it is. It's an incredible reproductive cycle. And it's one of those things. I get a kick out of telling people about giant super cannibal frogs that will attack lions, and that they still exist and they're still on this earth. It's amazing.
I guess we're so protected here, or so sheltered, in the sense that our animal life is quite
unoffensive,
nice,
yeah,
unoffensive.
Yeah, unoffensive and genteel, kind of, you know. When you think about it, there's no difference. Like, I mean, our common frogs are just as cannibal. They'll eat, they don't eat vegetables. They're eating slugs and worms and beetles and all that stuff. But you don't see them chasing down rats or eating snakes. And I think it's the thought of a frog doing something like that. And when you're talking about a 1.5 kilo frog that's 10 inches long and pure muscle with fangs. Yes. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
That bullfrog there, she has ridges on her back. Are they sharp?
They're not. No. The Beelzebufo, the devil frog from ancient history, who mm-hmm. would have been a precursor to these, to the horn frogs at least anyway, and probably related to these way back, actually had armor plating. They found plates, which is very unusual, and the bony protrusions over the eyes were actually bony, not like the ones that they have nowadays, which are quite soft and just extended skin. And the reason for that, where they were thinking, is it's either to keep them from dehydrating, or more probable is because there was a lot of nasty stuff around in the Cretaceous trying to take chunks out of big juicy frogs. So it probably would be advantageous of them to have some armour plating on their back.
So, Robocop style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I suppose, when you look at these guys, is it any wonder that we spin amazing myths and legends around them, because they look so weird to our eyes.
Yeah.
And with this metamorphosis and all these myths and legends
and
witches and things.
I was about to say that, yeah, the toads and the frogs and the newts. It's always the eye of newt and toe of frog that goes into the witch's brew.
Do they have toes?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Unfortunately for them, when the witch is around, they do have toes. I don't know how long they'd have them when she's knocking them around, but there you go. And if you think about, like, in places like Africa and South America back in the day, where you wouldn't see these animals for 2 or 3 years, and then it rains and all of a sudden they appear.
Yeah.
They're going to think, like, some of these animals are worshipped because they think he's a representation of the god whatever, because he appears with the rains.
Right.
And then you start having idols that are giant frogs.
Amazing.
Which is bizarre. And you can understand why, though.
Mm.
You're going to associate a good rain, a good harvest, or the return of the prey animals like the wildebeest and the bison. It makes sense at the time, you know.
And I guess, I wonder if that's where the plague of frogs came from, you know, in the Bible, where they suddenly appear in great numbers.
Yeah, I think I remember reading about that. It was just a very productive year for frogs, and they're just everywhere. Because I tell you one thing, you go out into my garden now, and we probably will do a recording of it. I'll give you a ring. Get down here. Because what it happens over about 2 days, maybe 3 days, all the tadpoles metamorphose at once, and they all disperse from the pond.
Wow.
And they're literally crawling over my walls trying to get out of the garden. So it's incredible to look at. It's like, see you in a few years' time when you get interested in boys and girls, and then you are back looking for a bit of action. But yeah, that's probably where that myth came from, all right?
How do you get on with your neighbours?
I get on fine.
That's good.
I get on fine.
Just as well.
Very understanding.
Well, in fairness, you're bringing all this interesting native life into the area.
I mean, there's never been any dangerous stuff escaped. There's also the fact that a lot of them have kids or grandkids, and they get to come in and see some wildlife. And most of my neighbours have a bit of a garden. They love having frogs in there. They don't have to put down slug pellets anymore. We have hedgehogs arriving back up to people's gardens now because no one's using slug pellets in the area. Because in a I think it's about 1 kilometre area now, we have frogs all over the place because some lunatic put a pond in his garden. So, yeah. But,
you're patient zero.
I think it's good. Yeah, I'm patient zero. I'm always patient zero when it comes to amphibians. Brilliant. But, yeah. Yeah, well, we went on a tangent there, but what was I going to say? Yeah, so the giant African bullfrogs are probably the pound-for-pound heavyweight of the amphibian world at the moment. Now, we do have the giant Chinese salamanders. They're a subject for another podcast, but they're quite... They live in rivers and they just eat fish. They're not going to jump on rats and mice. But, yeah, these guys are really, really nasty, and it's... The fact that they'll go after lions just blows me away.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So when looking at these tadpoles, in a couple of days' time, they're going to be changed. It's extraordinary to think because
it really is.
They still look not well developed, but this speed at which they're growing is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, when you think about 2 weeks ago, they were an egg. You know what I mean? Or they didn't exist actually 2 weeks ago. It's incredible. Like, it really is like they're growing out of fresh air.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out, but I'm as I said, I'm loving it. It's been a great experience, and I'll get to do it a few more times because I'm really enjoying it. If you look just here, see that little bit of flap, hanging off from under his belly?
Just where the arm would be?
That's where the arm's going to pop out. That's exactly where it is.
Right. So he's got holes in his jumper.
He's got holes in his jumper. He's ready to rock and roll.
The way they swim, they look okay. Their tails do the work, but they sort of look, they're so heavy and big. They're sort of rocking and rolling around the place.
They're very cumbersome. Yeah. They also tend to gulp air because they're developing their lungs, so they're gulping air, and sometimes they swallow the air, and you'll see a bubble stuck inside their skin, and they're floating on the top like sideways, and you just have to give them a bit of time and a bit of TLC, and then the bubble will come out of them eventually.
I don't know if it's joy or just wonder, but it's like the breadth of life and the breadth of nature is bamboozling, isn't it? Absolutely mind-boggling.
I just buzzing off it. I really am. I haven't. It's been a long time. I enjoy all this stuff. Don't get me wrong. You know, I spend a fair bit of my time out here with the different creatures that we have, but I haven't enjoyed an experience in working with animals in a long time as much as I've enjoyed the last 2 weeks with these guys. So very, very grateful to get the opportunity. I never thought it would actually happen. So this is my Oscar speech, you know. I'd like to thank the Academy for their lovely giant carnivorous tadpoles.
Great,
they're amazing. Anyway,
that's it.
I've talked the ears off you about giant tadpoles. So what I'm going to do is, if you're following us on social media, I think it's at the Critter Shed or Critter Shed on Twitter and Facebook. Check it out. You'll find us. It's the same logo as the podcast. And I've been putting up videos of the development of these tadpoles. And what I'll do is, as they turn into little froggies and as they develop, we'll put some videos and photographs up as well, maybe name a few as well, so that's pretty cool. We've been mad amphibian heavy the last couple of months, but it's been amazing. So my spiders are looking at me going, what the fuck, man? Thought you were mad about us. You know,
do you know how many tadpoles you have right now?
I've about 40. So poor Tom is about 200. Out of 2,000, though, you know, it's like they just eat each other like mad the first couple of days, and there's not much you can do. And it's, again, it's par for the course. It's just, you know. So, keep your eye out, and we'll show you how they get on and all the different colours that we get out of them, because I'm sure we're going to get some surprises.
Yeah. Cool. Maybe we should pack them away then, and we'll leave them, go back to whatever they're doing, which is, I guess, growing.
Yeah. Eating and pooing. driving me nuts.
Alright, so you're going to bring them back into the kitchen now?
I will.
Alrighty.
That was a fun one, wasn't it?
That was a fun one, yeah. And nothing dropped on me or ran over me or tried to bite me. I almost feel a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.